This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
That was my next, in terms of how much I owe Allah. You see, the Quran, you don't have to really understand what the Quran means. You can just look at one word and say, nope, zakat. Again, I'm reading zakat. Isn't this a sign for me, maybe? Isn't this a sign for me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, in this surah particularly, just talking a lot about zakat.
Did you start
it? Because I can take some time to know that you can harvest. I'll talk here about this one year. And so the point is to write it down so much. So this year we took it there, and you took it there and took it to somebody else. You know, if during the year I can pass a car, maybe so over the time. And so was the session. And the most interesting for me is not the calculation that I make. Every year, I think, you know, I always think how much this is.
Okay. And before I even start calculating my zakat, I'm a rich man. Now you may ask me, why do I say I'm a rich man? You know, why I'm not a rich man. I'm a rich man because the Prophet has said that every person who has a certain amount of money must give zakah. So let's say it's 5,000. Let's say it's 5,000. Nisab, it's called the Nisab. It's 23 ounces of silver or how many ounces of gold? How many ounces of gold? If you're right, Allah will give you a reward. If you're wrong, Allah also give you a reward. three ounces of gold. So calculate how much is 3 ounces of gold. If you have money of worth three ounces of gold with only 3 ounces of silver, then you pay zakah. All right. So there's something that always worries me before I start calculating. I don't have much. I was thinking, how much is it going to be this year? You know, gold has gone up, this has gone up, that has gone up. But when I calculate and look at the final figure of 2.5%, then I become ashamed of, am I now really going to give that 2.5%? That 2.5% looks like nothing. Allah's Father is not asking me for nothing. I'm still so neglectful, you know, upon paying my zakah properly. And all, I always think of the 1970s and the 1960s and those years, you know, when maybe I didn't. I had to pay zakah, I didn't pay zakah. You know? One always pays back also. Those are the things that you always think about zakah. You just don't think about paying a zakah now. You think about all the time you didn't pay zakah. Allah will forgive you if you make tawbah, but with the tawbah must come some penance. You must pay for it also if you left it out. So that is the kind of thing the Quran must do for us. If it doesn't do that for us, then why are we reading it? If I come across salah and I haven't gotten up for fajr that morning, and I must close the Quran and say, Ya Allah, I can't go further. I must first get up before I can read this Quran for you. Isn't it? That is the kind of effect it must have. When the Quran speaks about ilm, you ask, you know, then you should ask, you know, yourself, well, I'm not attending lectures, maybe now and now. Otherwise, which book are you reading? Islamic book are you reading? Or which internet website do you go to read? So these are the things that the signs points to you first. They say if you point one finger, then four fingers point to you. You point something. So when you read one word of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing at you as well. It's not just about what happened in 7th century Arabia and about science and about technology and about, oh, it's about me and you. Allah's talking to us. And now we will, yeah, Allah's talking to us. So Ar-Rahman, what is Ar-Rahman doing? Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allama al-Qur'an. Allama al-Qur'an. Not the full sentence, two words. Allama al-Qur'an. Allah taught the Qur'an. Allah taught the Qur'an. This is an important sentence to understand. Allama is a verb that is something that is happening now. It's something that is happening now. Allama al-Qur'an. It's in the past tense, going right into the present tense and into the future. So what does it mean, allama al-Qur'an? When we read the word allama and we see in the translation, it says Allah teaches the Qur'an, or Allah taught the Qur'an. What comes to mind? You don't have to be an alim. What comes to mind is, there is a teacher. And there must be a student. When we talk about knowledge and teaching, there must be a teacher and there must be a student. And who is the teacher? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He's the teacher. So I, Muhammad Amin, he may say, but uncle, Allah didn't teach me anything. My mu'allimah too. My mu'allimah teaches me. My professor at university teaches me. It's a matter of perspective. So you will now go to your son and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He taught you. Because knowledge starts with Allah. All knowledge starts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not just about the revelation of the Quran. No, Allah sent many revelations before. And all that, Allah was the teacher. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that knowledge came down. Say from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Sahaba, to Tabi'in, Nabra. Right down to us. So what my teacher teaches me comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter if it's a university professor that teaches you. All that knowledge is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are very important facts we must tell our children. Because they think when they go to school, to high school or university, it is those teachers who are so wonderfully brilliant. They just woke up one morning and they were Professor X or Professor Y. Or they worked so hard, but you can't work hard if there's nothing to work out on. And the work hard is, I mean, I read so many things about the wonder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Quran. So who is the student? The student, Allah doesn't mention the student, but the student is not mentioned, and the students, we are the students of Allah. When we read the Quran, we become the students of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a mercy! What a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He hasn't designated, He doesn't say, Allama Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. Yes, the Quran was revealed, anzala ala Rasulillah. It was sent down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah said, the students of this Quran is everybody. Everybody. You, me, Christians, Jews, non-believers, whoever wants to read it, they are. Who taught? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches. And therefore, Hidayah is also in the hands of Allah. Because Hidayah comes via the Quran. And so when the Christian reads the Quran in Alaska, accept the Quran, and he becomes Muslim, that Hidayah also comes only from Allah. That's why I'm saying, I always say this, I always quote this, that the young man came to Umar ibn Khattab, and he said to Umar ibn Khattab that when he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said to Omar, oh Omar, you know, you're such a great man, subhanAllah, such a humble man. You know, people love you, you can sleep under a tree in the desert and nobody will harm you. I'm just adding that. That is true. Why, how come you drank wine in time of Jahiliyyah? how come you gambled in the time of Jahiliya? Why did you do that? You're an intelligent man, the same intelligence you had then you had now. Couldn't you just have applied your mind? Who was he then? He became Amir al-Mu'mineen, one of the persons who was promised Jannah on the dunya by the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But that's where he started. So this young man wanted to know, why didn't, even if he wasn't Muslim, he said, even if he were not Muslim, you were an intelligent, you were one of the 17 people who could read and write in Makkah at the time when the Prophet ﷺ came. So it's not only about only applying your mind, it is also about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he dropped his head, Omar dropped his head and he said, yes, we had intelligence, we had brains, yeah? I was one of the people who could read and write, but it was an exclusive thing, you know, to be able to read and write. But he said, what we didn't have was Hidayah. I didn't have was Hidayah. Because he realized afterwards, what didn't he have? Why couldn't he see it? He couldn't see the truth. Because no Hidayah. And Hidayah is a gift which comes to all of us from Allah. Allah can give it and Allah can take it. Yahdi may yasha, wa yudillu may yasha. Allah says, he guides whom he wills and he misguides whom he wills and he keeps guidance away from him, he who he wills. So we sit here in this masjid listening to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we think, well, this is just part of the deal. We are Muslims. We have to do this. Ramadan. No. Your very beginning, your iman, your la ilaha illallah, that Allah gave to you as a gift. Allah says, inna Allah. Inna hudallahi huwa al-huda. Allah says, inna hudallahi huwa al-huda. Allah says, the guidance of Allah, that is the true guidance. So the uncle of the Prophet, he had guidance. He guided his people. He was the leader of the Quraysh. He guided his people. But Allah didn't give him the guidance of la ilaha illallah. So if you really think about this, if you read the kalima in the Quran, the words La ilaha illallah, or there's only one Allah, Qul huwallahu ahad, you stop. You have to stop there. You say Allah is one. What does Allah mean? And who saw Allah to say that Allah is one? These are the questions you just ask yourself. And then you say to yourself, but we don't need anybody to see that Allah was one. We believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always told the truth and spoke the truth. So when he tells us that Allah is one, we believe that Allah is one. And everything he tells us, we believe that that is the truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah said in the Quran, the universe is expanding. Wa innahu la musi'un. Anybody hafiz here? Please correct me if I quote wrong. Wa innahu la musi'un. Allah says this universe is expanding. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Until I think it was the 50s that the telescope was set up. The telescope, what's the name? The Hubble telescope was in the 50s. In the 50s, yeah. In the 50s, that Hubble telescope was set up. In the 50s, 1950s. How long was the Quran revealed? 1400 years ago. For 1400 years, the Quran has been pointing the sign to all of mankind that this universe is expanding. They didn't know that. Scientists until the 50s didn't know. They didn't know whether it was expanding, getting bigger, was getting smaller. Some say it was getting smaller and others say it was getting bigger. There it was in the Quran. How beautiful it was for me to read that and say, subhanAllah. This must be from He who created the universe. Not created the earth, created the whole earth. Only Allah knows it's expanding. Because the universe is 100 million kilometers is just here around the corner by us. Can you imagine how big the universe is? So, we then have received this ilm, allama al-Qur'an, called the Qur'an, which is the essence of all knowledge, the essence of Hidayah. And I speak about this all the time. You have to learn to read the Quran with your English Quran next to your Quran. And you have to make a habit of stopping where you read. If you see a word that you've heard somewhere, and you see the word, then you must stop and say, I hear this word a lot. You know, Shah speak about this word on the minbar, maybe in the khutbah. Let me see what the English translation is. What is this word? What is this word? So I gave a lecture to two people who came to have the will done by me, and I explained to them about the wasiyah. And I explained to them that in Islam there's actually no such a thing as a will. There's no Arabic word for the word will in Islam. There's no Arabic word for your last testament in Islam. Right? It doesn't exist. The will in Islam by itself doesn't exist. Why not? Because the distribution of your estate is given in Surah An-Nisa, verse 12. This must go for that, and that must go for that. So what did they write down? What was it that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that you must not sleep for two nights without your wasiyah being with you? But we also say, well, not the world. That is called a wasiyah, not called a world. And if you read, which means people did not say, my daughter must get my son. No. That was not said. So what was the wasiyah then? The wasiyah is the one third which Allah had given you to distribute yourself. I'm not going to give the whole lecture. What I want to say is, now maybe I'll give that lecture again. I've already given it. It's very important I give it again. Because it brings new things to light, and things will always, you know, we don't know everything. We think, you know, that we're Imam Shafi, Abu Hanifa, and Imam. No. Allah says, Sanurim ayatina fil afaq wa fi anfusim hatta yatabayna annawah. Allah says, the many things that you will be taught, as time goes on, you will be taught. If we know everything about the Quran, then what? No, the Quran is a book until the day of Qiyamah. It means we will read in the Quran what we don't know now, we will read about in the future. There it is. So I made not a study, it always intrigued me about this word wasiyah, because I did wills, and that's my you know, half of my the work that I do. And I just didn't do it. I used to go continuously to, is there a will or isn't there? There's not a will. What is the will? So what is so important of writing down? What did the Prophet want us to write down? He wanted us to write down what we were going to do with one third. And there were many Sahaba whose parents died without writing down what they were going to do with that one third. One man came and said, my mother died, Ya Rasulullah, but she died suddenly. I want to give sadaqah on her behalf, meaning I want to give that part of the wasiyah which he was supposed to have made, he didn't make, I want to give it. Prophet said, he also said, well, I also get the reward. Prophet said, yes, you will get the reward and your mother will get the reward. Another one came for the father, he said, you will get the reward and your father will get the reward. So for this wasiyah, there's a reward. But something was troubling me. Yes, I tell my clients that every verse in Surah An-Nisa from verse 12 onwards, and please make a head note of that. You should bring a small little book, you know, like that size, and just write down this. So Surah An-Nisa, verse 12 onwards. Every one of those verses end with a word in which the word wasiyah is. Yusina biha awdayn. Allah, for example, says, first write down your wasiyah, then your debts. First, that is repeated. That verse is repeated. So lately when I saw this, couple, I went home and I thought to myself, is your interpretation correct? Is the wasiyah that which Allah demands from us? You're telling everybody, all your clients to say, you know, it's wasiyah which is important. You know all the hadith, and I was reading Surah Al-Ma'idah. And I'm not going to say what the verse is about. It's verse 106. Verse 106. of Surah Al-Ma'idah. When you go home, go to verse Surah An-Nisa, read the verses on inheritance. Then you go to verse Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 106. In that verse is mentioned the word wasiyah. And what struck me about that verse was, that verse in fact confirms and emphasizes the importance of making that wasiyah. So if you have 50 rand in your estate, it's your job to see that you distribute that 10 rand to whoever you wish to give it to. Your neighbor, the SPCA, whoever, your friend, somebody who was good to you, somebody who was bad to you, give to your enemies also, they'll get a shock of their life if they see their name is in your will. Even if you only give them 50 rand, doesn't matter how much you give. I've never been in somebody's will. So I'm waiting for somebody to give, even if they give me just 10 bucks, I will be so happy. I'll think, mashallah, this man actually thought about me, subhanallah. So imagine, and your grandchildren, leave them, and you it can be non-Muslims, Muslims, Jews, you can do it to anybody. This is your final salute to the dunya, and your first step to the akhirah. Your world will come in the akhirah. Your wasiyah, that is everything you give in this dunya. So you leave behind a good, I always say, to cry when I say this, that everything the deen gives us and teaches us is for the benefit of this dunya, not only of the akhirah, of this dunya also. Look how beautiful that is. Allah says, sir, Frank, it's yours. Give it away. Now you have a chance to give away. Maybe you are not such a very generous man. But now you say, well, Allah can give away a third. Also, the Prophet said, don't give away a third if you are a poor man and your children are poor. Then give away less, maybe 5% or 10%. I don't see anybody in this room who looks like 5%. We can all give away 30%. 33 1/3%. 33 1/3%. So who's the rich man? I asked a question, didn't answer the question. This is the rake money. What's the sharia? What is the be as a man with the rake? Nabi Sallam said, La zakata illa ala dhahri ghani. Nabi Sallam said, there is no zakah on the back of a poor man. There's no zakah on the back of a poor man. What does it mean? If you know whether you're poor, is when you don't pay zakah. You don't have to pay zakah, then you're poor. If you pay zakah, then you're a rich man. Nabi said so. Why? Because you could save so much money for a whole year. You could save it, or maybe it became less and became more, but at the beginning of the year you had money, and the end of the year, despite everything, you still had money. So you're a rich man. So that is the honor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows. That is an honor. The third, Allah says, my money, but I'm giving you the honor of distributing. But 2/3, that must go to the people that I say it must go to. So, the gift of mercy and the gift of having Allah as your teacher, Allama al-Qur'an, is a pure gift. Allah doesn't ask us to give charity because He's given us, He's our teacher, or to pay Him because He's our teacher, or to make salah because He's our teacher. No, the teaching part is completely free, free, gratis. And it's all written in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who wants a better teacher than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I've shown you how you can start making use of Allah being your tutor. And think it like that. Think, when you look at a word and you look it up in your dictionary, you look it up in the Quran, you say to yourself, subhanAllah. Allah is teaching. And Allah doesn't only teach in Arabic. Allah teaches in all the languages of the dunya. All the languages. Because we speak all the languages. This deen was made easy for everybody. The man in Brazil, in the forest that we walk around there, there's a whole tribe that became Muslim. A whole tribe in the what, Amazon forest, in the Amazon forest, where there's only forest. People walk naked there. This whole tribe became Muslim. And they make salah. They make salah. They can read the kalima. Because it's so easy. La ilaha illallah. That's it. La ilaha illallah. You say that you're a Muslim. So, we need to appreciate this. By doing this, as I said, do it like I say, do it. Word for word. Word hits you like this. Verse 106. When I read this verse, I saw the word wasiyah. And I stopped and I said, oh, yes, the word wasiyah is mentioned in this verse. The long verse. But oh, there must be something in this verse for me. And when I read it, subhanAllah, it answered a very vital question for me as far as inheritance is concerned. So the Quran has many functions. It has many functions. Two important functions of the Quran is to repeat to us that there is no ilah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we read over and over and over and over again. The other ayah which is repeated often is that none can forgive you except Allah. So from beginning to end, it is Allah. Allah is the your ilah, our Rabb, our creator. And only Allah can forgive us. And I quoted a hadith the other day to the Jamaat, and somebody asked me, because I only quoted the first half of the hadith. So I thought, well, even if the person isn't here, I will find the hadith and read the hadith. It's a beautiful hadith. Hadith has more beauty, there's a lot of value, but for me it is beauty, beauty in the sides of the universe. It's beauty in the sides of the universe. It's a hadith narrated by Ali ibn Abi Rabi'a. And it's a hadith which is sahih. It is in Sahih al-Tirmidhi. And the hadith goes as follows. Shahidtu Aliyan radiallahu anhu utiya bidabatin liyarkibaha. The sahabi said, he saw Sidna Ali asking for an animal to ride on. Now I ask somebody, so maybe somebody works for him, he says, bring me something to write on. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَ I'm not going to read Arabic. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَ رِجْلَهُ فِي الرِّكَابِ When Sayyidina Ali put his foot into the stirrup, he said, Bismillah. فَلَمَّا اسْتَوَى عَلَى ظَهْرِ يَقَالْ And when he sat on the back of the camel, he said, Alhamdulillah. ثُمَّ قَالْ Then he said, Sayyidina Ali said, This is the man who's now watching what Sayyidina Ali is doing. Because they watch this great Sahaba to see what they're doing. Then Sayyidina Ali said, Subhanalladhi sakharana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrin. We know that verse. Glory be to Allah who has made subservient for us. Everything. Every universe is subservient. Even the sun and the moon, Allah says, subservient to mankind. Wa inna ila rabbina la munqalibun. And certainly we will return to Allah subhanahu. That verse. Then he said, then Sayyidina Ali says, he's now sitting on the camel. He's reciting the verse. Then he says, Alhamdulillah, three times. Then he said, Allahu Akbar, three times. Then he said, Subhanaka, Allahu Akbar, three times. Alhamdulillah, three times, and Allahu Akbar, three times. That you won't forget. Get in your car, say Bismillah, say Alhamdulillah, when you sit on the seat. Then you say three times, Subhanallah, and three times, Alhamdulillah, if you don't know the verse, Subhanalladhi, Sakhara Lana. Then Sayyidina Ali said, Subhanaka inni dhalamtu nafsi faghfirli. Then Sayyidina Ali said, glory be to Allah, verily I have wronged myself, forgive me. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. For no one can forgive except you, O Allah. This man is standing there and he's looking at Sayyidina Ali. ثُمَّ ضَحِكَ. Then Sayyidina Ali laughed. He suddenly broke out laughing. After he said this, Sayyidina Ali sitting on the camera is starting to laugh. فَقُلْتُ. So this man is saying to Sayyidina Ali, why are you laughing? You know, it's a very serious matter, you know. Asking Allah to forgive you and you're laughing. Min ay shayin dahikta ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Sayyidina Ali was Amir al-Mu'mineen this time. He had already become the leader of the Muslims. So the man said to him, why are you laughing? Oh, president or prime minister or whatever. Qala ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sana'a kama sana'at. Sayyidina Ali says, I saw the Prophet do exactly what I'm doing now. Get on the camera, say Bismillah, say Alhamdulillah. ثم ضحك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then the Prophet laughed. And I said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? قال إن ربك لا يعجب من عبده إذا قال. So Sayyidina Ali says, the Prophet said to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazed. Allah is amazed. At what? When the servant says, La Rabb ighfir li dhunubi. When the servant says, Allah is the one who will forgive my sins. Ya'lam annahu la yaghfiru dhunuba ahadin ghayr. So Sayyidina Ali says, Allah subhanAllah is amazed at a person when he says, oh Allah, forgive me my sins. Meaning he acknowledges that no one can forgive his sins except Allah subhanAllah. All right, so the person is here with the hadith for you. So, just to end off, I'm seeing if I left out anything. All right, are there any questions? Any questions?
Yes, Sheikh, you mentioned Rahman. Is there any local word that we assume is into the word Rahman? Like, for example, I have heard that the womb is referred to in some way.
Rahim, yes. It's Rahim. It's derived from the same root, Rahim. There are many words that derive from Rahman. Rahim is his womb, and it refers to the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for the mother and the child in the womb. Interesting thing about the womb and the child growing in the womb. There's a verse in the Quran which says, "Huwa alladhi yusawwirukum fil arham kayfa yasha." Huwa alladhi yusawwirukum fil arham kayfa yasha. Allah is the one who shapes you in your wombs the way He wishes. Inna Allah yusawwirukum fil arham. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shapes you in the wombs as He wishes. So I connected the two. The actual womb, I pictured the womb. And I said, then that means the womb is the workshop of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we make things in a workshop. The workshop of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of us, is the womb of our mothers. Allah says, I shape you. Allah doesn't say, I put something in your womb and you go. No, Allah says, I am the one who shapes you. I shape your arms and your legs. It's all from Allah. And now I will say that is a place of mercy. No, wasiyah is not fard. Wasiyah is recommended. Wasiyah was there before the world, before the ayat of the of inheritance was given. But it became part and parcel of the practice of the Sahaba in the time of Ali. It was something that the Sahaba never left to. Everybody left the wasiyah.
So would you say getting reward is a sunnah for having a wasiyah as opposed to not having a wasiyah?
Of course, that you will get lots of reward for giving charity. We know that there are three things which you leave behind. And one of that is sadaqatul jariyah. Things which you leave behind will benefit other people. That's the reward. You don't get the reward if you draw up a will, if you say, one turn must go. There's no explicit reward for that. Or in the sunnah. Prophet say, if you write down the word, no, that money doesn't belong to you. What you possess in this dunya doesn't belong to you. When you die, it goes back to the one to whom it belongs, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we have no say over it. We come into this world naked, and when we leave, we give back whatever we have back to the owner. That's why when Allah says a woman gets 1/8, the wife gets 1/8, the wife can't say, well, that's discrimination. No. Because that money doesn't belong to you, the husband. It belongs to Allah. You just have to give, you have to carry out the command of the Quran. But the 1/3 is your choice. For that you will get the reward. Last question. Anything on zakah? I will, inshallah. There is on my YouTube lecture series, one lecture which I gave on the world, everything inclusive. But I think probably to give one on wasiyah is going to be important for me and for you, all of us. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك السلام عليكم
السلام عليكم شيخ
عليكم السلام
مع شيخ الحمد لله